Yo, what's up, man?
Not much. Just psych myself looking at some moped stuff on Moped Army.
Just gotta get in the zone, you know. It's like, mopeds.
Yeah, man. How's your day?
Oh, dude, it's been busy for sure. Busy, crazy week. Like, I didn't do the podcast last week. It was like we're in the middle of this like crazy run at work. It was like, I think I worked insane hours all week. Like, I worked doubles pretty much, essentially. Like, I went in, like, you know, 7:30, like, worked till like 4:30, and like took one of my employees home and like ate dinner and like went back to work like all week.
Dang. Just,
like, worked the weekend.
That sounds busy.
My son had his first swimming lesson Saturday, so we did that. And then he's been like sick like ever since. So like, and I was like, ah, dude, it's just like all the things happening at once, you know?
Yeah, man, that sucked.
Yeah, I did get to play with my moped like last week, so that was kind of cool. Like, I was like building a red Batavis Grand Prix. I was building my red Derby variant, the American Sport. I was like rebuilding it. And, like, I was trying to get it done for, like, the firing squad rally. And I was like, oh, I'm going to take a different bike. Because, like, I've taken the box, like, the last couple of rallies. And I was like, oh, I'm going to take something different. I'm bringing a new bike. And, like, I just didn't. I went to rebuild it. I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. I'm just going to do a new top end. No big deal. And I opened it up, and the crank was just, like, completely destroyed. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
So, I finally.
That's how I was with my, I have a stretched red Maxi.
Mm-hmm.
And my engine was in pieces before the rally, and I was like, I had all these grand plans to like get all these bikes to the event. And then it was like 2 days before the event, I was looking at it, I'm like all I had to really do was put the head on and then mount it on the bike.
Yeah,
I was like, you know what, I already have like three bikes.
Yeah,
you should be okay.
It's always how it goes, though. It's like I know the rule, like, we've talked about this shit a bunch of times, we're like, oh, the rule is, like, to not bring an untested bike, you know? Bring the bike that runs and rides, the one you've been riding. Don't, like,
exactly.
You know, don't finish the build the night before and take it to the rally. Like, I put a kid on yesterday and I took it to the rally. Like, I've done it before and it never goes good. it never...
It's off-season halfway through.
Yeah, it never goes right. And I've, like, broken that rule so many times. I'm just like, dude, like, and I was like, and then here I was again. I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm picking at something different. And it was like a good, I'm glad that it didn't work out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man. Hold on.
That's cool. That was a really fun event.
Before we get too deep, dude, let's hit the intro music and then fucking I'll have you introduce yourself. Actually, we'll fake the intro music. Here we go. Fake it.
So, what are your
mopeds? Oh, my God. Mopeds.
Thank you. Riding a moped. I don't know. Like, touch a flower. Is it moving? Like, nah, feel pretty locked up. Sounds like you're fucked, dude.
Sounds like you're fucked, dude. All right, cool. We're done. If you listen to the podcast, Welcome to Open Money, Welcome to Open Money Podcast. You've heard the intro 1,000 times. You don't need to hear it again. Yeah. Dude, tell everyone who you are and where you're from.
Yeah. I'm Dylan Goble. I go by Moped Doctor here in Florida. From Indiana, moved down to Florida for work. Kind of got to know Tommy, Josh, and his dad at one of his events, the Space Coast Sprat Fest.
Yeah, first.
Knew him
first
a little
one.
Bit beforehand. Yeah, that was really cool. That was actually the first moped event I've ever done.
Sick.
I got into mopeds in college.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't mopeds. It was those motorized bicycles.
Yeah.
Those, like, Chinese ones.
Yeah, a little bolt-on motor to a little BMX bike.
Yeah. And I think Brian calls those, like, crackhead bikes or something.
Yeah, it's a good name for them, you know?
Yeah, so I really like those things.
There's
still
like,
a lot of that.
They're so hard to work on. Like, I've worked on them once and I did not like it. Like, everything was so like moped's cheap. A little janky. And then it's like, You get one of those, you're like, okay, never mind. My moped's awesome.
Yeah, they're literally made out of like the cheapest hot aluminum you can find. Yeah. So it's gonna crack in half the after 20 miles.
Yeah, it's like it works, but like it barely works. Like, there's a guy around town, like near my house, that like rides his every day. Like, I see him like ripping down the street all summer, dude. I'm just like, dude, that's what he's got to work with, and he's using it. Like, it gets him to work or wherever he's going. But I'm like, damn,
yeah,
I would hate to ride that every day.
Yeah.
But they're what kind of got you into those? Like, you were just like looking for a project, or you were like, oh, this is interesting, and picked it up?
Yeah, well, I went to school at Purdue mm-hmm. in Indiana. It's a pretty large campus.
Yeah.
I did like bicycling for the first year or so. Then I think I made like an electric skateboard, and then that like didn't work. I like didn't really like messing with the electric stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, is there like a gasoline something I can put on something? And I just looked it up, and then motorized bike. So it just kind of skyrocketed from there.
Sick.
Put that on. I pretty much used that bike, that one bike engine for like 2 years.
Damn.
Yeah, I didn't really do any mods. Then, you know, as soon as I did a few mods, it decided to break.
Yeah, I was like, sure, and it was pretty reliable until you started modding it.
Yeah. Yeah, then that really like made me learn about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't spend a lot of money learning on that, and then pretty much had like a baseline information how to do mopeds. Yeah. My dad actually found my first two mopeds in Georgia for like $100 each.
That's a good deal.
It was one Pook Maxi N, and the other was just a regular Pook Maxi, just like the soft tail.
Yeah.
Both of them were in pretty terrible condition. It was like the tanks were rusted out. The seat on the regular Maxi was like just bare metal.
Mm-hmm.
It had pretty rusted rims and like no tires. I don't know where this guy was storing it in his barn, but mm-hmm. it was like torn up, especially in Georgia. Like,
yeah.
Georgia, you wouldn't really expect things to rust like that, but I guess it does.
And this is why you're still in Indiana?
No, so I'd actually moved to Florida already. Okay. I just graduated college. Got I was it. Still doing like motorized bike stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just really like the idea of really small engines getting you places.
Yeah.
I think it's really fun. Like, you don't really need 8-cylinder engines pushing you around all the time. So,
that's true.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So you moved, you get down there, and your dad's like, here, these look worse than what you already have.
Pretty much. And then, I'm like, yeah, get those for me. He basically just sent them to me, and I'm like, get those.
Nice.
And so that kind of started my moped stuff. Yeah, so since then, I've never spent more than $200 on a moped. I've gotten two Batavas, I pick it up
the
for.
The purchase price.
Yeah. Of course, I've spent a ton of money on after stuff, but like, I never spend more than $200 on just a frame or an engine or something, yeah. You know.
That's what we all like. That's what we all like lie to ourselves. It's like the little white lie, you know. You keep telling yourself inside, like, "Oh, I got this bike for $100. It's only $100," you know. But like $1,000 later, we're just like, "Ah, this bike was $100."
Yeah, you know. That's what I was telling myself. I was actually just looking back at some of my posts on Moped Army, and it's like, I was like, considering getting the Doppler clutch for my Batavis.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had commented, I was like, yeah, if I buy this clutch, it's exactly the same amount I spent on. It's like more than what I spent on the bike itself.
Yeah. That's the hardest. that part seems so hard about it sometimes. It's like, even like someone completely random that's like bought some moped for $300 or something, and they, like, if you're, like, working on bikes for other people, like, I've definitely had people, like, bring me a bike and be like, hey, can you work on this for me? And I'm like, yeah, you paid, like, $300 for it, but it's going to cost you $500 for me to fix it. Like, and they're just, like, their jaws, like, they're like, what? Like, I'm like, yeah, like, you're lucky that it's just, like, basics, because, like, my bike, I spent way much more money, like, than I paid for it, you know?
And then, like, how many times are you fixing it after it inevitably blows up?
Yeah, breaking it, refixing it, like, you know, throw a $60 piston at something a couple times, you know, you, like, you know, throw a new chain at it a couple times, new tires, like, all these things add up so quickly, and you just, like, don't even remember the money you've spent.
It's like, just don't look back at your Treatland purchase history.
Yeah, like, I wish there was, like, a high score. Like, when you logged in your account, you'd see, like, the total spend. But, like, at the same time, like, I don't want to see it. Like, there has to be, like, it's like a toggle switch. You can toggle it on and off. Like, okay, you look at it one day, and you're like, all right, let's not look at that for another couple of years. Because I know,
I think
it would be bad.
Yeah, I think there's an option. It's, like, look at your past purchase history for the last 6 months. And then it's like, look at it of all time or something like that. And mine's like several pages long, and I'm like, oh God.
Yeah. Dude, I remember my very first moped was $100. I got it from $100. Yeah. And then I'm like, but I drove to another state to get it. Like, I drove it back. I bought every go fast part I could possibly think of. And they piled up in the corner. So it was like, I was so deep in this moped before I even, like, tried to put it together, you know, like, it always seems to be that way.
Yeah, man.
It's hard to, like, justify. Sometimes it's hard to even justify buying the parts. Like, I have to, like, play, like, tricks with my brain to be like, all right, well, that part costs $300. And you're like, you know, you're just like, how do you, you know, reconcile this money in my mind? I'm like, all right, like, the pipes.
Yeah, and then you're like, well, that part will make the other parts not work very well, so you got to get the upgraded part of those parts.
Yeah,
like, for pooks, you cannot even think about upgrading them until you upgrade the crank.
Yeah, step one.
It's like they'll blow up because they're brass.
Yeah, and then I'm always just like, you got to rebuild everything. It's like, all right, well, it's been a long time since I got a bike, and I was like, cool, this bike is perfect the way it is, and just ride it stock and leave it alone. Everyone I buy, I'm just like, all right, well, I know out the gates you got to rebuild the bottom end. So you're like, crank, bearing, seals, gaskets. And that's just like
pretty much
every bike.
Yeah.
And then when you don't do that step, you potentially or like eventually like destroy the crank like I do with my Red Derby. And then everything else goes to shit. I was like, cool. I was like, this bike's already running. I don't need to do anything. I just put a kit on it and I rode it. And then eventually the big bearing in the crank exploded, and now it ruined everything else.
Yeah, I know we didn't really get to talk much at the firing squad event, but I don't know if you realized, but I was riding the Honda Indy 5.
Yeah.
So I'd been riding that bike for like 4 months or so, because I just recently purchased it and like actually put it together.
I remember you saying you got that then, bike for like $100 too or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it for like $100. And then he's like, oh, I have the seat too. I'll give it to you for like $75. I'm like, okay. It came with like the front wheel, forks, handlebars, frame, rear. It came with some like plastics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a tank. So I put the H100 tank on there.
Which is a pretty good fit.
Yeah, I thought so. The frame is close to the MB5. There's like that big center tube thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the top on the H100 instead of the bottom like it is on the MB5.
Yeah.
But anyway, the story, I didn't replace any of the bearings inside of the engine. I didn't do any rebuild. But literally 2 weeks before this event, I tore the entire thing down. Every single bearing in there was seized. So I was like, shit, like, what do I get? I got to like get all these bearings before. It was like the week before the rally.
Damn.
I had like done all the painting on the frame because the frame was like rusting and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I did all the had to do some tank sealer. Literally, my tank was sealing on the way back up to Atlanta. I was like, on Friday, it should be sealed enough to actually put gasoline in it.
That's great.
But the bearings, it was like a few days before I was leaving for Atlanta, and like I just Amazon one day shipped like a bunch of bearings to my house and just like rebuilt that engine and slapped it on there and didn't try it until I got there.
That's brave.
Yeah, you should totally check all your bearings before
you
start riding it.
It's like, yeah, they kind of turn. I guess it's okay, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but I can tell you that bike rides so much better now that all the bearings are working.
Yeah. Dude, and I feel like that's like a daunting task too, to buy like a bike in the box, essentially, that's a MB5. It's not like just a E50 or something. It's like a little more complicated.
Yeah. Like, yeah, honestly, I'm at the point now where I feel like I can take pretty much anything apart and put it back together.
I kind
of
want to know.
I've done a lot of ZA50s. Yeah, I've done a few of those. Yeah, what were you gonna ask?
No, just like, you know, you went from like working on these little bicycles in college to like moving down south and like diving in deep. Like, were you always into just like taking stuff apart and figuring it out, or did you like, I don't know if you had help, or, you know, you were deep in Moped Army trying to like in the lurk, trying to read and figure out how to work on these bikes?
Honestly, I would say I like learning on my own. But I think, I don't know if you've seen Two Stroke Stuffing, the guy on YouTube.
Oh yeah. We had him on the podcast. He's fucking rad.
That guy, he's like my biggest inspiration.
Yeah. He's just so crazy.
He literally, like, him just like doing the work that he does on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one else has done any of that stuff. That's my inspiration.
Yeah.
So like before I got into like MB5s and stuff, I did a lot of Pook modification.
Mm-hmm.
And that was mostly like treatment kits. And then the Batavis. I got two Batavis.
Yeah.
And there's really not much mods for those.
No. It's a bike that not a lot of people want because of that. Like, they're in stock form, yeah, they're right. But like, you know, when it comes to the go fast stuff, like, people kind of like shy away from them. And like, they have some cool frames, yeah, and some cool bikes, but
yeah. I really thought the frames were super cool, and I kind of took it as a challenge. So I think the first mod I did, it was a sprocket mod for the rear wheel. Basically just printed out an adapter plate. You could adapt Pook wheel sprockets for the Batavis wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made another one that was for like more cheap Amazon sprockets.
Yeah.
Posted those files on Moped Army. They should be under the 3D printing section.
Nice.
But what I do is I print them. I did test with polycarbonate. It mm-hmm. works pretty well, but I would recommend just casting them out of aluminum.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And then I started doing a bunch of like cylinder mods. You get like $20 Yamaha jog cylinders from like Alibaba.
Mm-hmm.
I started putting those on the Batavis, and it was you have to like bore out the cylinder case. I basically just blocked off the original reed intake and mm-hmm. put one of those Yamaha cylinders on it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much goes from, I think, a 40 mil cylinder to a 47 mil cylinder.
Yeah.
It's about 70 cc. And yeah, that thing went. But unfortunately, those
transmission.
Yeah, unfortunately, the transmission doesn't like to hold up to that kind of power. So I think you saw, I did stop by your tent a little bit and showed you the Batavis.
Dude.
I kind of went a little crazy on that project.
That thing legit blew my mind. And that's like probably the number one reason I wanted to have you on a podcast, because it's like, one, no one's really doing shit with Batavis. Like, there's people who have them in the scene, and we see them all the time. I've seen plenty of them, And the majority of the ones I see have like V1s on them or like Tomos motors on them. Everyone always engine swaps them. But to see someone like do a Batavis and then just like go full Franken build, like, you know, I was like, this is crazy. Like, moped doctor for sure, dude. Like, mad scientist, more like it.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for. I like the challenge of keeping it somewhat original. I mean, honestly, it's not original at all, but at least using the original crankcase.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a ton of reading on Moped Army for any sort of mods that people have done. And this actually has been done one time by someone, I think, over in Europe. But I didn't really like the, he did like a static engine mount with like tensioners.
Got it.
I didn't really like that. I really like the way that like Puget or Peugeot, however you say it, I like how the engine swings. I like how the engine rocks.
Yeah.
It's
a cool look.
Like, yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's a cool look. I think it's cool. Like, watching a motor pivot, like my first bike was a French bike because like you never see that shit before. You're like, whoa, this motor moves. Like, it's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at like the same time that two stroke stuffing guy, he posted like he was going to like a different dyno setup.
Mm-hmm.
And he had like used a linear rail from his saw. Like, he took his saw apart, like one of those skill saws, I mm-hmm. guess. And it had like a linear rail that the whole saw was on. And he used that linear rail to mount his Frankenstein engine onto his dyno for like a variated setup. And I'm like, that's the coolest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, that guy's a mad.
And so I decided to just buy a bunch of linear rail, like for, I guess, CNC mm-hmm. machines. With some like pillow bearings that ride on those rails. And I like welding, so I just welded up a... At first I had it like a weird setup. It went forward and back and side to side. And it worked kind of, but then the side to side wouldn't really want to work. So the reason you have to have it side to side is you don't really have to. So the reason that I did it is I wanted the belt to be in line with the pulleys.
Yeah.
I know that the Motobecanes, they don't really. They just kind of pivot, and then the belt just goes left and right.
Yeah.
With the variator.
You got to kind of like offset it a little bit so that when it's fully variated, kind of straight.
I didn't really want that. I wanted the belt to be in line with it the whole time. No side-to-side movement. Then I changed the engine mount to be kind of angled, and the angle was matched to the outer variator disc so that as the engine moved back to account for the variator,
mm-hmm.
it just stayed straight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I just did the same thing for the rear pipe mount. Yeah, the pipe hanger. It's just on a linear rail as well. And the way the Batavis lower section is, it's all like one piece, and then the very like the top of the frame just pivots on the I'm not very good with terminology, but the bottom,
like the bottom tube,
swing arm, yeah, swing arm,
yeah, yeah.
So the swing arm is like connected to the engine mount; it's all one solid piece.
Okay.
And then, like, everything on top of it, like, the frame and, like, the part that you sit on just kind of pivots on a, like, where your pedals go in.
Got it.
So, like, all that's solid. So, my engine goes forward and back on the linear rail engine mount. Yeah.
Dude, it's so crazy.
I just kind of, like, what can I do to get this to work and, like, be awesome? And that's what I did.
Variated Batavis. what other mods did you have to do to get the bike variated? Like, you change the crank and all this other stuff?
Yeah, so I won't take credit for that. The guy on Moped Army has already done it, but I did do a lot of research and I have it documented. I don't have it documented on Moped Army, but I will if anyone's really interested in it. But basically, you had to figure out what bearings I needed. The guy on Moped Army had he'd taken a Tomos A32 crankshaft. A35 crankshaft. And used the second speed spline and welded it to a GY6 variator because the GY6 variator slips right onto the A35 crankshaft. Just the spline is different, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So I found the bearings that would fit in the cranks into the crankcases and onto the A35. They're a little bit weird. They're not like a standard bearing. So they're a little bit more expensive than you would expect, I think, buying bearings. And then obviously the crank seals. But really, other than that, it's just an A35 crank. I use the Pook top end because A35 share the same stroke length as Tomos. Right now, I have a 50cc on it. It goes roughly 45. I think something's wrong with it right now. I just kind of threw that 50cc on because it's a big long story, but I had a 70cc on there. Tried to put a decompression valve on one of my heads. Didn't work very well. I screwed up the threads. And then I put another 70cc head on it, and it was, like, way too high compression, and it was detonating like crazy. Okay. So I just threw that 50cc on, and...
What'd you do for the variator?
What do you mean?
What variator did you put on the crank?
I used a GY6 variator. It's one of those GY6 scooter variators.
Got it.
It's the same one that other guy had used.
I saw the picture of it like from your Reddit, and I was like, I couldn't figure out what variator it was. I was like, I've never seen this variator. Like, it's, I thought it would be like a French one. So I was like, I'm not sure what this is.
No, I love cheap parts. Anytime I can find something for like $20, I'm gonna get it. Like the variator was like $20.
Nice.
I did do a little bit of a mod compared to what the other guy had done. I had to put a pin in the crankshaft to keep the variator from spinning. If you don't, the variator kind of wears out way quicker than it should because it's spinning and it shouldn't really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that. I wish I could have shown you the stretched maxi. It's pretty cool.
All sorts of stuff, dude. Building all the things.
Yeah. I love building things. I love cheap parts that you can find off the shelf and making them run.
I saw you, like, cast your own spacer, too. Like, what's up with that?
I didn't quite get that. What was that?
Did you cast a spacer for the kit and stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I cast, so for the Batavis, they're... cylinder is a little longer than the Pook cylinder. Like the base of the crankcase is further down compared to Pook. So yeah, I just modeled, 3D printed, and cast the spacer for that.
Like I've seen I know like Moped Factory just did some casting on something recently too, and I'm just like, dude. And I've seen the two stroke stuffing guy do it on YouTube, and I'm just like. The idea of just like casting your own part in aluminum, like to me, I'm just like, oh, that's so like out of my league. And I've been doing mopeds for a long time, and I'm like, I'm not doing my backyard and casting parts.
Yeah, I really love the manufacturing process of things. I don't have like CNC tools or anything. I do a lot of stuff by hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a lot of experience with 3D printing. I bought my own printer in like 2016 and I still use it. So I kind of just wanted to take it to the next level, figure out casting. Actually, cylinder spacer was my first cast It wasn't that one. It was one for a motorized bike engine.
Okay.
I still like messing with those ever so often. I actually have one. I actually put the spare Vitavis cylinder on my one of those engines because I thought it'd be funny. Mm-hmm. It's pretty fun. I had to cast the cylinder's spacer for that too.
Like the only time I had a Vitavis like stock cylinder is an upgrade, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy. The port durations on those engines were like terrible. Dude, but Vitavis is little better.
How hard was the casting? Because I saw you had like a couple of failures. I mean, like, it's like, how tricky was it?
It just depends. So there's two things cast on that Vitavis. There's the cylinder spacer. That one's kind of straightforward. It's just basically space between the cylinder and the crankcase. And then I put little divots where I need to drill for the studs. And it pretty much just gets the shape pretty well. And then I also have a reed intake for that. I don't know if you saw, but I kind of did a poor man's Pellini job on just regular piston port cylinders. Basically chop all the top pins off, put your reed block onto it, and just port the inside to where it's pretty much Pellini.
Yeah, those things still rip.
Yeah. I don't know, Tommy really loves those things. They've got a lot of top end. I pretty much did that. Make a little reed block to put a reed valve in. I use like a CDH reed adapter, I guess, for motorized bikes. It's like my carburetor mount. So, yeah. So that one's a little more complicated. It's got like a little hole. It's like it's kind of like a cup shape, and it's got a hole going through it that goes to where the piston port used to be. Yeah.
Crazy.
It's a little wild.
Yeah. Ugh, I'm like, better you than me, dude. I'm like, like I love to see it. I'm just like, oh, dude, that's so, like when I see it, I'm just like, the amount of work is so daunting to me. I'm just like, dude, like, I gotta buy the parts.
It's just my favorite thing to do, honestly. Like, just make things. I dailied that for probably a whole year, the variated Vitavis, and then I just recently got the MB5, so I've been dailying that recently.
That's sick that it's like this been that reliable though.
It wasn't. And then now it is. Yeah, the first few iterations, it was not very. Yeah, it was not very reliable. And then now it's pretty much like it's a what it became reliability.
Yeah, and I see like you're rocking the launch lever with it too. Like, do you prefer the launch lever over like dialing in the weights and stuff? I know like not a lot of people use launch levers in the French bikes, you know, but they're. I think it's pretty fun, like to be able to manually control your bike.
Yeah, I really like the launch lever. It really is handy for like a 50cc setup because you really have to be on the high RPMs. There's still a bit of tuning I need to do on the weights. Unfortunately, it seems like the weights that it wants are like the lightest possible. It wants to variate like really early. Mm-hmm. So I have like 3 gram weights, a total of 9 grams in there. And I pretty much had to take a 4 gram, which is like one of the lightest ones you can buy, and like shave it down a little bit more to get to 3 grams.
Then
it pretty much engages around 6 grand, or like the takeoff is around 6 grand. But if I really want to take off fast, I'll have to use the launch lever.
Yeah.
It goes to like 45 in, I would say, 7 or 8 seconds. It's pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean, it made the whole ride, you know. We had a decent pack at the firing squad rally, and the bike was doing its thing.
Yeah. I like hanging out in the back. My dad was also there. I was having fun riding with him too. So I didn't really ride up at the front very much.
Don't worry. Front's I really boring, like that. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mid pack's where it's
I
at.
I think there's a lot of show off that like try and go around you. And I don't know. I'm not too wary of like drunk people on mopeds.
Like, I go around you, but I'm sober, so it's cool.
Yeah, some people are, but some people aren't. Yeah, we were, that night, it was like, people were up to 4 a.m. drinking, you know? And then the next day, they were, like, still drinking. And it's like, well, we got to ride in, like, an hour. Are you going to be sober enough to ride? But, yeah, I guess people pull through.
Yeah, that's that party vibe, dude, goes late. We were in bed early. I was like, all right, dude, we're out of here. Airbnb, see ya.
It sounded like people were trying to like blow up their engines all night.
Yeah, that's the only part about sleep at the camp spot. Like, it's fun if you're like, you know, you get the party and have a good time, meet all the people, do all the things. And, like, you never know like how late people are gonna go, if people are gonna get in like really late and like, you know, be ready to party at like 1 o'clock when they show up, you know, it's like, it's always a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a hard sleeper. I'll sleep through all of it. Like, if I'm at the camp spot, I'm like, I'll go out like a rock and sleep right through it. But if you're a light sleeper, it's a little weary.
Yeah. I'm not really a light sleeper, but whenever they're trying to blow up their engines, I'll wake up, you know. Some guy was getting his going to like 13 grand or something. It was crazy.
I like when they try to blow it up and it doesn't. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, it's ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, you got a bike that's going to survive.
Yeah. It's a shame whenever they get it from the raffle and they're telling them to blow it up. I'm like, no, dude, you just got it.
Put it to the test. See what that thing can do. They really like, I went to the, the moped rally last year in Pittsburgh, and they won the raffle bike, and legit the most valiant effort I've ever seen at someone trying to seize the moped, the raffle bike. Like, they fired it up. It was like a Tomos, and they fucking tipped it a little bit and went full throttle for at least like 15 minutes straight. Like, it was just like, pitting. Everyone's like throwing their raffle tickets at the tire and pouring beer on it. And like, it went full throttle, nonstop. Like, everyone's cheering, trying to have this thing blow up, and it didn't. And I was like, I was shocked. I was like, you guys did a good job. That bike is holding, that bike is ready to go. Like,
yeah, wow, seriously. I feel like those big fin kits, those 70 and 74 cc kits, those airsaw kits.
Yeah,
those things run so cool. I feel like they can handle like anything.
Yeah, standing still in the middle of the night, like, water cooled and PBR, like, it's perfect.
Yeah, if you're throwing beer on the cylinder, yeah, why not?
Dude, I'm kind of like excited to see the resurgence of like Florida mopeds.
Yeah, that's like, what Josh and Tommy and me are. I mean, we're trying to get it going.
It's like, I feel like you guys are, everyone's so spread out in Florida. It's kind of hard to keep it together because Florida's so big. But like, you guys are doing a good job. Like, people, you know, you guys show up, and I'm like, all right, sick. We got some Florida people here. That's crazy.
It has nothing to do with me. That's all Tommy. I only showed up to that. Yeah. Not sure if Josh will say it, but I came up with his Dirty Fingers Garage idea.
Nice.
The name. He stole it. He LLC'd it. He's like, I'm LLC'ing this. Someone's going to take it.
He's still like, yeah. Business. He's a business forward. You know, he's like, we got to be
this sick. Legit. I mean, he literally the day before the event, he was in the Netherlands. Like, yeah. Not the day, the weekend before the event, he was in the Netherlands, like, yeah. Recording stuff. Moped event. Moped stuff.
Pook shop.
Yeah, Pook Shop. He's got his Pook Shop partnership going on. He keeps saying he's going to get parts, but I haven't seen anything yet.
Okay,
we'll see.
We'll see. You know, get that shipment.
I know. So I think they're wanting to do a, they're wanting to make a track down here for mopeds.
Sick. I know there's been like,
I know,
you know, we have the Moped GP, so there's a couple, you know, races a couple times a year around here. You know, there's West Coast, Midwest, and East Coast, and they're still racing. And they, mm-hmm. they started off on like a off-road event too. Like, I wanted to see that last year. It was like, I think they did their first one. I was like, damn, that's sick.
Like, I want to ride. I think that
off-road.
They're wanting to do a long distance ride here in Florida. I want to go from East Coast to West Coast sometime.
Yeah. Florida's so big. You guys can do a whole lot in the state.
Yeah, preferably we'd go to like Tampa from Cocoa or something. Be super cool. There's a lot of back roads we could do. Mm-hmm. It'd probably take 4 hours to go across if you're going fast.
Yeah.
A little longer if you weren't. Probably would take a lot longer if there's a lot more people, but yeah. Baker's Dozen, I think, is what they're wanting to do.
Nice. Baker's is cool, man. This year's routes, well, I think they're doing like New Hampshire to Michigan, Kalamazoo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's shaping up. I'm so pumped that they're still doing it, you know, year after year. It's like it's been going on for so long now. It's like, damn, they're still doing this race every year.
Yeah.
I can't bring myself to do it. Like, it'd be...
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah, the time off work.
It's a long time sitting down.
Yeah. My body would fucking couldn't take it.
You'd have to have a nice seat.
Yeah, nice seat.
I got a nice seat from Moped Seat Dude at Tommy's event. It fits my red maxi perfectly.
Nice. Moped Seat Dude does great work, dude. Hit him up if you guys don't know about it. Moped Seat Dude on Instagram. Don't sleep.
Yeah, Moped Seat Dude's awesome.
I keep saying I need to get like a seat done from him, like, but I have yet to like get to a bike where I'm like, oh, this one needs a nice seat, you know?
Like, yeah.
Dude, I did finally, I don't know if you've been keeping up with like the gram and stuff. I know mopeds is so funny, like where we have our whole community is built on like the internet, essentially. It's like we have a couple of rallies here and there where we kind of get to meet up, but it's like so much of it's just like the internet. Cool. Like I'm online. I see this kind of guy doing moped stuff here and there, and it's everyone kind of looks at everyone's stuff. But I got our buddy, what's his Instagram account, dude? Turbo Spaghetti from Chicago. And he's doing like custom 3D printed grips. And like people have been buying his grips, dude. He's doing like, you know, sweet like 3D grips. And he sent me some the other day. And I got a Moped Monday grips for my bike. And it's got the little, it's got the tortoise and hare, like you get on like a lawnmower. So it's got that like on the inside of the grip. And
it
says Moped Monday. And then the other side says send it. And I'm like so stoked on them, dude. I was like, dude, this is awesome. Like, let me get like six of them. Or I got a handful. I don't know. I'm going to put them on my bikes. I'm so pumped though.
That's so cool.
And it's like,
yeah.
I never 3D printed anything. So like to me, like seeing 3D printed stuff is so cool because it can be hard, it can be soft, it can be like it's so versatile.
Yeah. Yeah. I always run into the problem of I want to make things for my engine and it's always too soft to do anything. So that's why I had to start casting things. Yeah. But you can really do tons of stuff with 3D printing. There's a guy around Florida, I think, that's been making plugs for the stock air hole for Pooks. Just the Pook logo.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I think that's like his signature.
There's a guy one of the guys in Legion like 3D prints them too, but it's like it's got like a little key switch. So you can like use it for like your power switch, like run your like kill switch to it.
Yeah, I think Josh has one of those on his dad's bike, his chopper or whatever.
Yeah. The fucking Pinto chopper. That thing's cool looking.
Yeah, that thing's cool. Yeah, and I think Don had did all the work on it. Don's his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he did a really good job on that.
I think you guys were all like there, like family event style too, dude. Like everyone's got their dad. I'm like, hell yeah, this is sick.
Yeah, my dad showed up. It's his first time at a moped event. He actually bought his Cosmo for the event.
Nice.
He drove 4 hours to North Carolina, bought the Cosmo for like, I think $400. Pretty much in the condition that you saw it. I don't know if you saw it. And then like a day before the event, him and I were doing some tuning on it. I think we got it from like going 25 to like 35. So yeah, it was, I think it was probably one of the most stock bikes there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely one of the slower ones, but he was able to keep up at least. We didn't lose sight of the group.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
And stock bike, you can make a stock bike last the rally. As long as you do 35, I say like that's the bare minimum. Like you can't bring a 25-mile-an-hour model to a bike. I mean to a rally.
Yeah.
But if like your bike can go 35, you'll make it. You like all you have to do is get to the front whenever the ride stops. Like anytime they slow down or there's a stoppage, you just go to the front and take off right in the beginning. And then like the pack will kind of pass you and it'll stretch out. And by the time they stop again, like you didn't get lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a clean bike. It was like really good condition.
Yeah, I've never seen one of those before, but whenever he showed it to me, he saw it on Facebook. I was like, that's super cool looking. Like, that's going to be like the most, one of the coolest bikes there. Like if anyone cares about stock bikes,
yeah.
Cause there's like so many Pooks, so many Tomases, a few French bikes. No one has the Cosmo Colt.
Yeah. No one. Like you'll rarely see the word Colt at a rally. I've seen it like maybe 3 times, you know? and normally it's not the Cosmo. Normally it's like another one. Uh-oh. Then we lost our call, guys. Here we go. Hey.
Hey, sorry, man. I was itching my ear and I hit the button on my earphone.
No, you're all good, man. But yeah, like we were saying, dude, yeah. I was like, you might, like, you'll never really see Colts at a rally. Like, I think of all my years, I might have seen 2, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that the first time I saw the Tavis was at one of Tommy's rides, but it was honestly one of the most unique bikes there too. I was like, had the opportunity to get some myself. I thought that's super cool. So I like having unique things. I think that a lot of people just kind of stick to Pook and Tomos because it's easy. But mm-hmm. if you really want to, like, actually do something cool, you got to get something else, you know? Yeah.
My buddy used to have a Colt 3, which was kind of cool. But it was like, that was, like, the first mm-hmm. one I'd ever seen. And I was like, okay, this is bad. But, like, you never see them. Like, it's a rare bike.
Yeah, no. Some people don't like the top tanks, but I think top tanks are the coolest thing.
Like, I think that's why people stop liking them. Like, everyone's first moped, they're like, cool, like, I want a moped. They're like, they're always just like, well, mopeds are kind of lame, but if I want to get a moped and I don't want to be lame, I got to get the top tank one because it looks like a motorcycle. So everyone's like always like coming in the mopeds, like sweating a Magnum and like, you know, or something. They're like, oh, I need this top tank. It looks like a motorcycle. And I'm like, oh, you just got to embrace the step through and embrace the moped and just like really take it all in. When a car sees you and they start giggling, just start riding, just start turning the pedals, dude. You'll be okay.
Yeah. I like all mopeds.
I do.
I think top tanks are cool.
They are.
I pretty much had like 4 years of having just step throughs and I was like, I gotta get top tanks. So
yeah.
I made one of my Batavises. So the Batavis HS50, mm-hmm. that's air quotes HS50. It was a VA. Then I actually got the fairing, like the mid fairing thing, like a triangle or whatever.
Yeah.
that says HS50. I got that from Treatland. I painted it yellow, and then I put a tube down the middle and put the tank on top. Mm. It looks just like the HS50. No one would ever know. It's not an HS50.
That's funny. I didn't know.
Yeah, I know. See? Yeah. So I pretty much only had step throughs, and I was like, well, if I can't buy one, I'll just make one. Because, you know, top tanks are expensive. I only spend $200 on bikes.
Yeah, that's the downfall. Like, if you're only spending $200, you gotta, it's few and far between when you get the deal.
I know. And there's also this guy in Florida that I bought, like, one thing from, and now he's like, every time he sees a moped, he's like...
Hits you up, hey. Like, oh, look what I found. That kind of works in your favor sometimes, dude. Like, when you just, like, become known as, like, the moped guy, and, like, you just get random calls, yep. And people drop stuff off, you get bikes for free. Like, that's how you get deals. You know, they're like, become the guy.
Yeah, I actually got a free moped, pretty much. I found a riding lawnmower on the side of the road. It had nothing wrong with it, pretty much. I had to, like, tighten up the steering and charge the battery. Mm-hmm. And then someone was selling a moped. I'm like, hey, I'm not going to give you any money, but I have a mower. He's like, yeah. So I got a free moped pretty much. I actually brought it to the event. The crankshaft was messed up, so I replaced it, which then again, not free, $100 pretty much.
Yeah.
Crankshaft. But yeah. It's pretty funny the ways that you get mopeds.
Yeah, the swaps.
Like, a lot of people don't value them, you know?
Yeah, like, they only value them when they see, like, the value on the internet. And then, like, and even that's, like, misleading, you know? That's why the moped, like, market's, like, so jacked up. It's, like, people think they're worth more than they are in the condition they have them. Or, you know, they just, like,
oh. Yeah, there was, like, a general down here in Florida, like, in Orlando being sold for, like, $1,500. I'm like, what? Dude, I mean, it looks nice, but, like, no.
Someone posted a Tomos Fruit Stripe, like a Fruit Stripe A35 in our group chat today that someone's selling in Virginia for $4,000. And we're just like, yeah, dude, never going to sell it. It'll never sell.
I saw an Indy 5 in, like, Chicago for, like, $10,000.
It's like, it'll never, ever, ever sell. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I get it. It's like a one-year-only bike, but no. Not $10,000.
Yeah. Never. I like, like, when I started mopeds, like, my first bike was $100. All the bikes I bought after that were, like, always relatively cheap, you know, like, $400. If it was a $400 or less, I would buy it. Like, I bought everything, you know, everyone was hungry. We had, like, you know, 25, like, active riders in Richmond. So, like, everyone's, like, trying to beat each other out for the deals. Like, we're all, like, hunting on the internet every day. We're on, like, you know, OfferUp and Facebook Marketplace and, like, Craigslist. And, you know, you're, like, checking the fucking wanted ads. And, you know, you're doing weird searches. Instead of, like, searching, like, the moped brand name, you're searching years. Like, oh, someone, I'm looking for 77, 78, 79. Like, you know, you start putting years in. And we were just, like, always on it. Like, you know, trying to catch the deal. And, like, now, in the last couple of years, like, as I've gotten, like, older in mopeds, I've probably spent the most money I've ever spent buying, like, bikes. Like, instead of buying a $400 bike, I'm like, well, let me buy this, like, $1,000 Derby. You know? And then still,
I feel like that's have to put the same amount of money.
It's like, then you put the same amount of money in it that you would put into, like, the cheap bike. So, you know, you have this bike that's, like, an absurd cost out the gates. And you're like, I can never sell this now.
Yeah. Honestly, every time I buy a bike, I'm like, I really don't want to sell it. So. But what am I going to get out of it? Like, the same amount or, like, a little bit more than what I paid for it, you know?
Yeah, especially after
or else I could just keep having fun with it.
Parts and stuff. I just got to a point, too, where I just had too many bikes. Like, it was like, okay, now it's just getting to be a nuisance because there's just too much in the garage. Like, you have to walk around them and shuffle them. And, like, I kind of, like, have, like, kind of calmed down to the point where, like, I know the bikes that I want to own. And like, I'm just kind of like waiting for like one of them to pop up or like, you know, build it myself or something. It's like, my goal is to probably have like 6 or 7 bikes total, like for the rest of my time in mopeds. I probably won't go over 7 bikes. I don't want to go that high, but like, you know, 7's like my max. And that's like, if you find like the bike that like's on your bucket list, you're like, oh, well, I have to own one of those. So I'll buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the MV5 was on my bucket list for a really long time. And then whenever I saw the one for like $100, like, yeah, I should get this.
What bike would make you step outside of your budget? There's got to be something.
Honestly, like a Simpson. I really want like a Simpson. From Europe.
Yeah, I back that because I've never seen one in the States.
Yeah. I just see so much about Simpson like in the Europe crowd. And I just like every time I see someone post it on Reddit or like Moped Army, like those things look so good.
Yeah. They have like their whole like they have a whole following just on Simpson. They have their own cult, dude.
Yeah.
It's like a ruckus, dude. It's like a whole people who only ride Simpsons. And go to full on like Simpson rideouts.
If we had more Simpson stuff or like any Simpson stuff here in the US, that would be amazing.
Yeah. Never seen one in real life. I don't know if I ever will.
Yeah, I think after doing the variated setup, I think I really don't want to do much with like single speed engines as much just because of the takeoff that you get with variators. I've got an Addy Pookie 50. It goes like 65, but you know, you're burning through your clutches.
Yeah.
Like there's only so far you can push it before you just got to maintain it like hard, you know? So
that's when it comes to the flex bike too. You don't ride it often. You just ride it hard when you do.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't ride that one very much. It's got a Strucker crank in it. It's got the Addy case, of course. I have it case inducted. It's got a airsaw cylinder blocked off the piston port, ported it for 6 transfers. It goes hard. I have a Yamaha jog pipe on it. It's awesome. It's like idling at 45.
I love too that the jog like the internet pipe kit's like your go-to. You're like, I'm putting this kit on everything. Like no one's stopping me.
Honestly, it's so cheap. It's so good.
Yeah. I gotta try it out sometimes, dude. Like I've never gone that route of buying like the internet kit.
Which kit?
No, just like the Amazon like cheap jog. I've never like gone that route. So like I'm like you guys made me so curious about it now. I'm like, maybe I gotta try this out.
No, it's just the jog pipe. I've used the jog kit on the Batavis and some motorized bike stuff. It's actually pretty popular for motorized bike stuff. But the motorized bikes and the Batavis share the same stroke link. So it pretty much have interchangeable cylinders. The jog pipe, it's actually pretty good. It's hard. It just depends on how you weld it up, how much header you give it. Depends on when it hits, how hard it hits. Yeah. I like to convert mine to side bleeds where you can also do the, what's it called? Where you have like the nut at the end with holes in it. Where you can kind of change how much pressure it has. I know Treatland sells those. It's like an adjustable side bleed. I think it makes it not as long. Yeah. They're pretty hard hitting pipes. I actually used one of those on my Honda MV5. It was a jog pipe and then I changed it around. It's been through like 3 iterations. I've lengthened the header, and then the end cone, I've made it a lot more smooth. The jog, it's a little more abrupt. So I kind of just mellowed out the amount of pressure it's getting. So it's better for like a shifter.
Got it.
Yeah.
What do you think your next
build? They're fun.
What do you think your next build's going to be?
Next build, I'm going to really hammer down on the Tatavis. It doesn't deserve the 50cc. It really deserves a nice 70cc. I think I'm going to redo the pipe. I'm going to give it a little bit a longer header. It hits around 9K. That's when the pipe hits. Mm-hmm. It's a little hard to ride at that. And it likes to hit temps of like 370 whenever you're on long stretches.
Yeah.
So, and like Kook cylinders, they don't really like to handle those seats very well. I know that the the Motobikanes, they have their cylinders kind of made to be able to hit temps of 400, but Kook cylinders don't really like it that much, at least the ones that I've been using.
Yeah.
So I might try and transition it to more of like a lower hitting RPM setup. I just really want it to be a nice, reliable, 50 mile an hour bike. Nice, fun, gets off the line fast. It already does that, but I just want it to be reliable, you know?
Yeah.
Like a lot more reliable than it is.
Yeah. And 50's pretty decent, dude. You don't need much more than that. Like, it's cool to have a bike that's faster than that, but like, you rarely use it unless you're like, you know, out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever been on an HS50, but they're tiny bikes.
Yeah, pretty small.
Yeah, they use like they have the 16-inch wheels. They're smaller than a maxi. Yeah. So that's really what I want to do. I have another like motorized bike build that I'm working on, but not very hard. It's got one of those MS460 chainsaw cylinders on it. It's like a 80cc cylinder. It's pretty rad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I think that I've kind of mellowed out a little bit on my moped riding. The traffic around here, around where I live, mm-hmm. it's been getting high, and I'm like, well, I could just get home faster if I rode on the sidewalk. So now I've been kind of riding my slower bikes to work. Getting back home faster, getting to work faster because the traffic's not in my way.
Are you, is a long ride to get to work or like how often? Like how
it's 10 miles there and 10 miles back.
Okay.
Yeah, 10 miles or 20 miles round trip.
That's not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
And is that Florida weather? Nice, so you can ride every day. Ride.
Yeah, pretty much. I pretty much ride year round. It's great. Yeah, I actually, it's a funny story. I had to get my car's tires fixed, and one of my coworkers was at Discount Tire as well. He's like, "And do they service mopeds here?" And then the counter guy's like, "No." And he's like, "What? Like, why is he here?" Like, this guy, he's like, "You have a car?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I have a car." He's like, "What are you driving?" Because I like only ride mopeds to work.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Nothing's better, dude. You probably get great gas mileage.
Yeah, man. It's really good.
Yeah.
What's been a bike that you wish you would have bought? Because you said you've kind of mellowed out your buying, right?
Yeah, I've definitely settled down. Like, there's definitely been bikes that I wish I would have bought. Like, they popped up for sale, and I was like, damn, like, I should have pulled the trigger. Like, I wish I had the money. Like, really nice. I've seen some really nice GPRs. Like, I used to have one, mm-hmm. and I sold it, and, like, mine wasn't, like, the best condition, but I would be into having, like, a really nice GPR again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd like to have, like, a Fantic. I think, like, the Joy or the Top Tank or the Sprinter, like, are both, like, really cool bikes or super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Two of my dream bikes were at the Athens Rally. They both came from Dose. They had a Wallaroo, That was pretty sick. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, love a Wallaroo. Wallaroo is pretty much like a fox with a different like frame, like plastics and stuff, mm-hmm. but the same motor. And then the Suzuki that they had, that thing's freaking yeah. the tits. Like the colorway is like awesome. Like electric start, like they're super cool bikes. Like those and like Pujaji. I can't remember the fucking word. It's another like weird like bike that's like that. Yeah, that one. It's like it looks just like the Suzuki. They're really similar. Like those are both really cool bikes. And then I don't know, I think that's it for like mopeds. Like if I could have like one of these, I think I'd be really into it. I still want to do like a really like a Poot Cross maxi. Uh-huh. Like I have like a bunch of parts for it, like already like, you know, piling up in my garage. I've been like buying and holding for years, you know, like I got wheels yeah. and I got like kits and I got like frame and I got this and that and I got forks and I got plastics, but like I'm kind of like waiting to get all that together. I think I'm gonna put that mm-hmm. that new variated E50 motor on it, so I'm kind of waiting for that to drop and then I'll be like,
Have you bought one yet?
No, but soon, like I'm gonna buy that, you know, when he fucking puts it out, like I'm buying it.
It's so cool seeing that thing.
Oh yeah, dude, it's awesome.
And meeting him was really cool.
Yeah, the fact that like
I didn't even know about it before the event. I was like, what the heck is this?
Yeah, it's like same thing with your bike. Like I didn't know about your bike until I saw it, and I was like, wait, what's going on with this bike? Variated balance. So I was like that, and then having his ZA70 and that like V50, both with all three of these weird bikes at the rally, and then a couple like rare bikes from Dose, like all at the same time. You're like, it was like overload. I was like, dude, there's too much cool shit going on at this rally right now. I can't like be lurking or super hard at all these bikes. Like I gotta like,
yeah.
And it's cool. Like I'm still like interested in mopeds, and they still like bring joy to my little life. So even like hitting that rally, like, I came back like feeling super gung-ho. Like I was like, damn dude, that was fun. Like because it's been a while. Like it's been like, you know, all winter, it's been months since we've gone on a ride or gone to a rally or done anything. So I was like, damn, like that rally was really fun, the ride was cool, like good amount of people, cool spot to hang out, like got to see some cool bikes that I've, you know, never seen in person. Like I was like, damn, this is a great time. So I got back and I was just like, all right, like, yeah, I'm feeling mopeds again. Like, let's look at the calendar and see what else is coming up. And like, you know, I bought parts to fix another bike. I was like, I'm going to fucking get my bikes going, dude. Let's go.
Yeah, totally agree.
So for those who've never yeah. gone to a rally, dude, like hit one up. Like it opens your eyes and makes you like enjoy this whole thing we're doing even more. Like, it's cool, like, fixing bikes. I get the, you know, the instant gratification of, like, fixing something and then, like, riding it down the street. Like, that's cool. Like, I enjoy that feeling. Like, oh, I made this work. This is great. And, yeah. You know, I like riding around my town and, like, knees in the breeze and, like, smile on my face and, like, parking on the sidewalk right in front of wherever I want to go. It's like, oh, parking? I don't need to worry about that. I'm going to park in front of the door. You know, like, all these, all these little things make mopeds so much fun. And
I know.
And then I go to a rally and I see all these other people who have the same like feeling for these bikes that I do, and it like makes me like love it even more. So I'm like, and then I come home and my wallet's like, oh, stop. I'm like,
yeah, you have to really restrain yourself.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I bought a box of grips. I bought a brand new kit. I bought like, you know, I just started buying
shit. I mean, how much did you spend on the raffle?
I did a pretty good job. I didn't spend a lot of money in the raffle. I try to like, I've been really trying to reel it in. Like, cause I know like, I always want to buy something and always get tickets. Cause like, I want to support the club who's putting on the rally. Like whether I want whatever mm-hmm. they're raffling or not, I'm always going to buy some raffle tickets no matter what. Cause mm-hmm. like, all right, cool. Like it takes effort to put these things together, especially the smaller the club is. Like it takes money out of their pocket, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes headache, it takes stress of like planning these events and like trying to have it go off and like, you know, trying to like do everything you can to make it right and like, you know, raffle off.
I mean, like for 30 bucks too, I mean,
yeah,
can't beat that, honestly.
Yeah, and those, and like the rally packs have never been like expensive. Like no one's like, even if a rally pack was like, I've gone to scooter rallies where it costs way more money. You know, it's like $50 and like, you don't get like, that much, you're not really getting that much more than you get like in a moped raffle, rally. So it's like, if the price went up, like, essentially rally packs have been almost the same price for like the last fucking 10 years, dude. It's like, if we jack the price up to $45, like, or something, you know, so people can put on a rally, like, I think it's well worth it. Like, I would support it. Like, yeah, a rally pack was $45. Sure. I'm still going to buy it.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, you guys are putting in the work to host this event that we can come ride our stupid bikes at. Like, I don't know. I like it.
Yeah. Athens was really beautiful. I've never really been to Athens, but it was the first time being there.
Yeah, the ride was
really beautiful.
I've never gone. I've never been there. Like, I've been to like Atlanta or whatever, but I've never been to Athens. I didn't even know the Georgia College was there. Oh, like, this college is here? Fuck. Who would have thought? You know, like, like, Athens isn't some place I'm thinking about, like, you know? But it was beautiful. The rides were nice. Really cool roads, like windy, some hills, like some canopy covered roads, some fields, you know, some city. Like, it was cool. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. You know what's crazy is I had to actually change my jet because here in Florida we're like zero.
Oh yeah, sea level.
Sea level. And then Athens, it was like, I think like 600 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I had to change jets because all my bikes are running super rich.
Yeah, that's a tricky part. Sometimes when you're traveling to these events, like, kind of looking at where it's at, like,
mm-hmm.
I remember like when we first started going to rallies, like our first couple rallies, dude, we were like, we bring like all the tools and all the jets, and like Richard would pull up and we'd be like 10 of us in the corner like fixing our bikes like all the time. And now like I got to the point where like I show up and I'm like, oh, if the elevation's a little different, like I might change a needle, like you know, like, all right, cool, lean out the needle and we'll ride on the clip, dude, fuck it.
Yeah, I don't like breaking things, so I try and jet my stuff to where it's like as rich as it can be without it or stroking like crazy. Yeah. So, like, and it kind of cools everything, you know.
Like, if you're full throttle, it will four stroke. You have to back off like a little bit.
Not necessarily. Mostly, I just like my plug to be a lot darker than just brown.
Yeah.
You know.
Better than breaking bikes. Changing plugs.
Yeah, exactly.
Changing plugs is way cheaper.
Yep. Pretty much.
Well, dude, I appreciate you taking the time to come hang out and talk mopeds, dude.
Yeah, man. Have to do it some other time.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, I wish I would have had a little more time to speak with everybody at the event. I feel like I barely got to know anybody.
I feel that's kind of how it goes a lot of the times. Like, you get so caught up in, like, riding around and doing all the things, and there's like so many people to talk to, like, that you end up not really having in-depth conversations with anyone. Like, I feel like all my conversations at rallies are always like, hey, what's up, man? All right, cool, later. And like, it's like talking to the next person and I'm just like running around. So like, that's kind of why I enjoy like the podcast, because I can actually like talk to people and kind of get to know a little bit more about them. So yeah, I'm glad
we got
to do this.
It's great.
Hopefully I'll catch you in another rally. I don't know what else what your plans are. Do you have anything else you're trying to hit this year?
Yeah, I think that I'm mostly sticking around like the Atlanta is really as far as I really want to travel for this. It's totally like traveling that far. Yeah.
Like New Orleans doesn't seem like
if there's any more events around Atlanta.
New Orleans, maybe? That might not be too far from you guys. I'm sure they'll
it's
be
not
down there this
maybe,
year.
Maybe New Orleans, yeah.
Maybe Texas.
Perhaps Texas. If it's in Dallas, I'll consider it.
Yeah. It's not that far, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I think the furthest we ever drove for a rally was like 27 hours. And I was like, that's pushing it. You know? Like, that's hard.
Yeah.
Like, 12 hours and under, I'm like, all right, cool. That's doable.
Yeah.
But, you know, you always, like, talk to Josh and, like, you know, packing up your bike so you can put it on a plane.
Yeah, he's done that. Or he tried, I mean.
Yeah.
He tried to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I hope he starts bringing a bunch more European stuff over with all this pig shop partnership going on.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Like, the more the merrier, dude. Like, we're buying, people are, there's a market for mopeds, so.
Yep. All right. Well, all right,
dude.
It was great getting to see you, talk to you person.
Yeah, keep
doing, and on phone.
Keep doing weird stuff with your mopeds, and we'll keep watching it, you know?
Yep. I mostly post on Reddit. I do a little bit on Moped Army. And some on Instagram. So
sick. Well, text me I think I have the link to your Reddit. Yeah, I have it. So yeah, I'll put that stuff like in the description when I post the podcast tomorrow.
Cool.
All right, sick. I'll talk to you later.
Yep. Talk to you later. Have a good one.
Cool.
Bye.
Ooh, that's another episode down, boys. I appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. Yeah, like I said, what's in this fucking box? Ugh, I have those grips that I got made from Turbo Spaghetti. I got an extra pair of blue Moped Monday grips. They are awesome. I'm pumped on them. Thanks, Turbo. And yeah, I'm going to raffle a pair off, dude. So if you guys are listening to this podcast, you made it this far in the episode, just email me at mopedmondaypodcast@gmail.com. Email me, make the subject title grips, and inside just write whatever you want to write, you know? But yeah, include your name, address, and I will do a raffle on next week's episode. You know, we'll put the names on a list. We'll go to the internet. We'll random number generator, and we'll raffle off a pair of these grips. So yeah, hell yeah. Also have some shirts left over from the rally that I'll probably post on Instagram sometime this week. It's only a couple sizes, so I'm not even gonna like take the time to put it on the store. I'll just like throw it up on Instagram or something. And so if anyone wants one of those, it's the what's the back say? The back says never trust cars, because our buddy Justin from the Road Browsers gets hit by cars way too many times. So we're just like, yo, dude, don't trust those cars, dude. Like, they're going to turn out on that street. They're probably going to do it right in front of you. So be on the lookout for vehicles. And anyway, yeah, that rally we went to was fun. Like, got me really stoked on doing moped stuff again. Like I said, I bought some new parts. I'm trying to fix my bikes. My buddy Zach from Smog Squad had his American Sport at the rally, and it had this really cool fender with the light built in. I was like, damn, that thing looks sick. It fits so good. And I was like, dude, I'm trying to get like Zach. And not often at things where I'm like, dude, I'm just going to copy what my homie's doing because that looks sick. But this time I was like, dude, that looks awesome. I'm buying it. So I just went on Amazon and bought one of these like tail fender light things. So hopefully it looks cool and I can look like my boy Zach. But yeah, Smog Squad's doing a rally in Richmond this year. If you guys want to come visit Richmond, it's going to be cool. It's a moped rally / film festival. So you have the opportunity to make your own short video. So check them out. They're doing cool shit. There's lots of other cool rallies happening this year. I don't know where else we're going to go. We were thinking about doing the rally in Ohio, but it looks like we're going to be, me and Thomas are going to be out of town on vacation that week. So that's kind of a bummer. Yeah, a bunch of other cool stuff going on. I don't know. Check out MopedArmy.com. See what they have listed on the calendar. Go to a rally. Don't blow it. You know, go out there, see the world, and ride your moped in it. All right, cool. Fuck your car. Ride a moped. So, what are your favorite moped sounds?
Fuck your car. Ride a moped.
I don't know, like Touch of Flower, is it moving? Like, nah, it feels pretty locked up. Sounds like you're fucked, dude.
Oh boy!
Womp womp womp, you fucking blew it!